So we are going to continue this with the Maamar that we started previously. Half of it's already available. This is part two. I'm not going to reiterate it or explain or go over what we already learned. The Maamar continues now. After having established the rationale and the reasoning behind the concept of Oira, which is a different tense of light, emphasizing both the notion of a greater receiving of light, which is the feminine dimension, and emphasizing also the greater benefaction of light, which is the masculine dimension, the Rebbe concluded the second chapter of the Maamar with an epiphany on joy's power, that it is through simcha that we're able to bring forth this profusion of divine energy. So essentially, in the first two chapters of the Maamar, the first two Oisiyos, the Rebbe explains the words Oira and Simcha, the words light and joy, explaining the meaning of a more profound form of light, which is resultant of the concept of joy. Omnam, continuing in Ois Gimel, in the third chapter of the Maamar, Inyan Oira v'Simcha, the notion of Oira and Simcha, Sheheim, which they represent, or are spoken of in the teachings of Chassidus, as Chochma u'Bina, as intellectual creativity, and then the notion of intellectual development, or what is called Yichud Chachma Bina, Oira and Simcha, as we explained it, means the concept of the union of Chachma and Bina. So he bebechina zivug ruchni. All of this is but a spiritual form of union. What's called zivug neshikin, the concept, the metaphor that's used, is a kiss. So what does this mean? Simply stated, as a rule, intellectual creativity cannot exist without intellectual development or definition. And the example of this would be that any idea that we have is only taken or grasped by us through the technicalities of the idea. So for example, if somebody were to put an item in your hand with your eyes closed, and you wouldn't know what it is, you wouldn't identify it as the raw material, you would identify it as the specifics. Like I just want to share with you a famous story. Rabbi Tversky put a key in my hands, and he said, "What is it?" I said, "It's a key." He said, "Why did you say it's metal?" Because I said, "Well, it's not metal, it's a key." Right, he says, "First you had to know it was metal, and then you knew it was a key." So the chachma is the awareness suddenly that this is something here. But the fact that it's something, or the substance that it is, becomes immediately defined. And this is the nature of Chachma and Bina, that they train rein the lame sparsh, the two best friends that never really separate. Our Chachma and our Bina are invariably operating in tandem. We immediately grasp an idea by its definitions. Now, definitions of an idea are the concept of Bina. That's how we develop and analyze an idea. But we can only develop and analyze the notion of creativity through the specifics of the definition of an idea. So Chachma and Bina invariably will always come together. And all the things that we talked about, which is an increased level of receiving light, namely Ora, which is resultant of an increased level in the benefaction of light, Ora as Meira, as giving, the greater benefactor, that whole union, that whole completion of the circle, as we called it, the circle of light, which is completed, is all in theory. It's all academic. It's all speaking about things in an intellectual way. It is not discussing things in a pragmatic, in the hard reality. It's all in theoretical reality. So theoretically, we have this union. Ve'inyan zeh hu tchilas hamshacha. And every reality begins with ideas. So if you wouldn't have the ideas, you wouldn't be able to accomplish anything. You have to have an idea in order to be able to accomplish something. But it can still remain just in the realm of ideas. Just because I have good ideas doesn't mean I got anything done. Aval tachlis, but the ultimate purpose, the end goal is sheyia zivu gufni, that these should bring about a union, not in a spiritual sense, not in some cloud nine reality, but in the terrestrial, very, very literal way. Ad sheyishana es mitzias ha'olam hazeh tachten. Till such point that it actually modifies and changes the material world in which we live. You have a great idea? That's great. How does it change my life? How is it going to make me a different person? What will I do differently tomorrow because of this amazing insight and fantastic idea? Good question. And that's the tachlis. The ultimate goal is that things should be carried out, not simply left in some academic reality on the theoretical plane, but that it should actually become impactful in real time. And the question is, why is that the purpose? Why does it have to be somebody that brings about a transformation of this world as we know it, Ilam Haza, Tachin, this lower world? That's because Lihi Yezdiro Le Yizbarach V'Tachtenim, because in the end, what Hashem desires is a dwelling place in this world. He doesn't desire a dwelling place in the heavens. He already has a dwelling place in the heavens. He doesn't need the angels to listen to him. They're already listening. He needs us to listen. He needs us to be aware. It has to happen in our world, in our realm. And the fully unfurled idea of Dira B'Tachtenim means that it not only impacts people in the marketplace of ideas, but in the marketplace of deeds, of practicality. And the Rebbe says, that then is the meaning of the Hemshech of the Pasuk. This is the continuation of the Pasuk. La'yehud demesa oida v'simcha. So oida v'simcha is everything the way it exists on an ideal level. And then it comes down into sasin v'simcha, into sasin v'yikar, the idea of happiness and the idea of beauty. Says the Rebbe that the idea of sasin and yikar, the happiness and beauty, is the inyan of yichud zun. Now zun can be understood in many ways. In a very literal way, it means the union of zachar and nekeva, the union, the coming together of male and female. In other words, the concept of marriage. So in order to build a family, you need a father and a mother. In order to bring children into this world, you need a father and a mother. In order to create the proper repository for God's presence, you need a family reality. And the family reality comes through Yichud Zun. Ki sasein zahimila. The Gemara says, what is the meaning of Lehud Demes Oira V'simcha V'sasein V'ikar? And the Gemara said, Oira is Teira. And then the Gemara continued to explain that the meaning is of what does it mean? Simcha? Simcha is yomtif. The joy of one's Yiddishkeit, the concept of celebrating a special day, and we talked about that in Ois Beis. But now moving forward, the Gemara tells us that the concept of sasein, of the happiness, represents the idea of the mitzvah of circumcision, the mitzvah of bris milah. Kamesha Kosov, like it says in Tehillim, Psalm 119, Sos anoichi alim rosecha, in the letters of sin, it says, or letters of shin, it says, I rejoice, I am happy over your words, which this notion of imrosecha, of your words, represents the idea of bechinas yisoid, represents the idea of the lowest of the six midas. There are six midas which are called ze'ir ampin, which means literally small face. Arach Ampin, the large face, proverbially speaking, represents the ideas of Chochma and Bina and Das, Chabad. Notion of things on an intellectual level. And then things filter from an intellectual level into what we call an emotional and functional level. So Chesed and Gvura represent two extremes in the concept of emotion. The right and left extreme in the concept of emotion. The emotion, which is represented to positivity, to giving, to embracing, and so on and so forth. And then on the left, you have the concept of gevura, which represents the idea of restraint, represents the idea of discipline, of at times shutting things down because it's inappropriate to always give. And then you have the concept of teferes, which represents a synergy in some ways of both bringing together, a central fulcrum, which brings together both extremes within emotion. And then those filter through into functional emotions. So in Netzach, which means victory, I'm competitive. I'm engaged in with others. If a person is competitive, they're goaded or inspired or motivated by what's going on around them. And then we have Hoid, which is on the left extreme, which represents the idea of really being able to ignore all the white noise around you and stay focused on what you have to do. Very different kind of function, emotional function. And then we have the concept of Yesod. And Yesod ultimately represents the notion of communicativity, to being able to connect with somebody else. And communicativity does not necessarily always mean speaking. Communication can happen in a variety of ways, including body language. But the idea of communicativity means I'm going out of my reality and now I'm engaging with somebody else. So that's the Sasa Nechi Al Imrasecha, and that represents the notion of Yesod. Shal Yodai, that's through Yisoid, or through the area of Bris Milah, quite literally, Nase Ziva Gufni. That's how literal the physical union between man and woman, that's where it happens. So in other words, that these ideas, this idea of serving Hashem with joy, this idea of being able to receive the deeper and profoundest level of Torah, in a way that Hashem is giving us a deep level of Torah, in a way that we're able to receive it to the point of saturation, as we explained in the first part of the Maamar, now has to become something that influences the most literal aspects of life, and I dare say, right down to Shalom Bayis. Right down to making peace in your own home. Right down to being able to create a peaceful environment in which a Yiddishkeit family should be able to flourish. Because if you can have this beautiful union, theoretically, proverbially speaking, but it doesn't translate into the actual building of a family, what is the point? Without family, without children, without generations, we have no Yiddishkeit. There is no tomorrow. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Zachar Unikeva Bara Isam, Hashem created men and women, and He wants us to live together in holy matrimony. He wants us to create that family unit. He wants us to be together. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, the Kohen Gadol, if he wasn't married, he couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. It's the polar opposite of how other faith systems view holiness. They view holiness as a derivative of celibacy. And the more celibate you are, the more holy you must be. But in Yiddishkeit, it's exactly the opposite. We don't view intimacy as an ugly thing. On the contrary, it could be something which is the most powerful vehicle for spiritual closeness to Hashem. Because when people can transcend themselves to be able to come together as one, this is an act of holiness. Or at least it could be. Of course, it could be an act of unholiness, profound unholiness. Just like challah tonight is going to be a great idea, but don't do it in a few weeks on Pesach night. But it's challah. Sure, there's marriage and prostitution. They're almost the same and totally different. So the notion of union or oneness, when it's graced with the holiness of matrimony, is the holiest thing in the world. There is no other mitzvah that we make so many brachas for. There is no other mitzvah that Torah ordains we'd be so joyous for because of what it represents, because it's the coming together of neshamas. So this is the idea then, that the Yiddishkeit ideas that we have, the big ideas, have to be filtered down into everyday reality. So Eire and Simcha have to be translated into Sasan, into a happy home, a happy Jewish home, into creating a Shalom Bayis, into creating people able to get along. If you have a happy family unit, then that becomes the source of light and inspiration of happiness for others, because really that's what a proper Yiddishkeit house does. It radiates outwards, like the Beis HaMikdash did. And that radiating outwards influences and inspires and uplifts others. So that's the idea of Sasein. And then from there we go into Yikar. So the Gemara says, what is Yikar? What is beauty? Most people think of beauty as beautiful wardrobe, beautiful clothing. You know, if you have a diamond, but it's just a diamond, it doesn't have a proper setting, it's not so beautiful. You have to frame it. So clothing is like the frame of the picture. And the tefillin then become the accoutrement that brings forth the beauty of the Yiddish neshama. And we know that it's not only about tefillin, because the Rebbe says, Huksha kol ha-teira kulu l'tefillin. We have this famous idea in the Gemara in Kedushin that says that the entirety of the Torah is in some ways represented by tefillin. All of the mitzvahs are likened to tefillin. So tefillin represents the concept then of Yiddishkeit itself, of mitzvahs themselves. And what does this mean? I mean, this means on a very literal level, like it explains in many places in Chassidus, that the notion of tefillin, which represents subjugation of heart and mind, our commitment to the Almighty, that's not something that we're supposed to only achieve through the putting on tefillin, but commitment to the Almighty is what Yiddishkeit is about. We're supposed to be giving ourselves over to Hashem. We're supposed to be committing ourselves to Hashem. We're supposed to be harnessing the wherewithal, the ability, the talents that Hashem gave us for a holy and a sacred purpose. Harnessing wherewithal and ability is the essence of tefillin. A human being functions, a normal, healthy human being functions through the realm of intellect and emotion. If you have no emotions, they call it autism. And I'm just using that very loosely. If you have no mind, nebuch, there's people who are born without a maturity in intellectual maturity. They remain like children the whole life. They're not normal people, nebuch. A normal person is a person who has both heart and mind. And the tefillin represents bringing Hashem together. Not, I'm Jewish at heart. It doesn't work. I have Jewish ideas. I think Jewishly. It's great. You have to have thinking Jewish, feeling Jewish, and then that consciousness comprised of emotion and intellect has to filter through into everyday life. So this is the idea of tefillin. And therefore, ultimately, it represents all of Yiddishkeit. We have this very interesting statement that Gemara makes in Masechet Shabbos, that tefillin, which have to come from organic material, has to be made of an animal, the hide of an animal, but it cannot come from just any animal. It has to come from the kind of animal that you can eat. And you will say, why? What difference does it make? I'm not eating my tefillin. You can wear pigskin shoes. You can play football, as long as you don't eat your football. So why does the tefillin have to be kosher? But the answer is because the only way you can serve Hashem, the only way you can take something material and harness and sublimate it so that it might become a springboard for spirituality, is if it's mutter beficha, because the mutter beficha, the notion that it's permissible to eat, signifies that it is the kind of klipa, it is the kind of extraneous material that can be brought around, that can have its light revealed. That's why it's called klipas noiga. It's called a shell, but the shell of light. So it can fade away from being a shell and it can join the light. It can become raw energy, whereas the other thing is just packaging that has to be discarded. From the very notion that we say that the tefillin has to come from that which is permissible, moving it's understood that the tefillin are coming from a reality where the opposite may be true. In fact, the opposite must be true. Tefillin can only be fulfilled in this world precisely because there is the notion of that which may not be eaten. So even in that area comes the notion of yikar, which is the conclusion of the Esa Sfiris. If oira and simcha is chachma umbina, if oira and simcha is intellectual faculties, if the idea of sasain represents the concept of zeir ampin or za, the midais, so then yikar represents the idea of malchus. Malchus means dominance, to be able to control the world in which we live and harness it in a positive way. Malchus means responsibility, to take on the responsibility for ensuring that things work right. So this is the notion that we all have a midas ha-malchus. We all have to take responsibility and make it happen. Vad lebchinas havaya malach geos lavish. Until we reach the level, as is articulated by David HaMelech in the 93rd Psalm, which is explained in copious ways in many places in Chassidus, that the idea that the of Havaya Moloch, that the idea of Hashem, the transcendent level, Yudke Vavke, is Moloch, invests itself in this world as magistrate, as leader, as king, as one as engaged in Geos Lavish, that he put on robed, he's robed in raiments of grandeur, in Kola Dargashab Malchus, but the notion is that Malchus means becoming enclosed, embodied, enmeshed in the material reality, so that godliness and God is not in the highest heavens, but rather hamashpili la'aretz, comes right down into earth, that the godliness becomes the dominant force, overtly, not theoretically, not in a latent fashion, but in an overt, obvious way, becomes the reality of this world that all can see. That's the concept of malchus of Hashem. V'zeu, and this is how we can recap the pasuk, which we have discussed as such an important verse from the Megillah, representing in a certain way the entire trajectory of Yiddishkeit itself. This is the notion that Layehudim, there was Oira v'simcha, there was light and there was joy. There was sasim v'yikar, there was happiness and beauty. Shebetchila, that it starts off with the idea of Yichud Chachma Obina. It starts off academically. It starts off intellectually. It starts off in the proverbial heavens, in the highest level of human consciousness. And then it's brought down into the level of emotional engagement until the point of actuality. The Yesoid and Malchus, bringing together Yesoid and Malchus, which is the idea of Sosn and Yikar. Through all of this, it becomes actualized in real time, in this realm, the realm of materiality and actuality, Shein Tachton L'mata Himenu, a world that there is no lower reality then, because the low reality of this world, as the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, is reflected in the concept that this world specifically allows for a total concealment of the Creator. That's the meaning of a lower world, a world in which the materiality, in which the I element of the world, seems to be entirely independent. And that's the lowest possible denominator. That's the lowest possible reality. So we have to bring these lofty ideas. Our Yiddishkeit has to become something that influences and that transforms and impacts and dents the darkest part of reality, the part of reality that otherwise doesn't see, know, or appreciate the presence of the Creator at all. And that's the meaning of the pasuk, La'yehudim ha'yisrael v'simcha v'sasim v'yikar. So at this point now we explain the meaning of this pasuk. What's left to us to understand, the beginning of the Maamar, the Rebbe said, why do we make this request, this prayerful wish, kein tiyalonu, so it should be for us. And after we recite this pasuk of La'yehudim ha'yisrael v'simcha v'sasim v'yikar on a weekly basis, as we take on a new week, when the Shabbat comes to an end in Avdallah, so we finish off kein tiyalonu. What does it mean, kein tiyalonu? So this is the idea. Even though in the Gemara has a discussion whether we should say halal or shouldn't say halal during the holiday of Purim, the Gemara comes along with three answers. And the third of the answers, which comes from Rava, is that we cannot say halal because in the halal it says hallelujah, hallelu, avdei Hashem. And the Medrash says it was the Pharaoh who said to the Jewish people, you're not my servants, you're not my slaves, now you're gods. Say the Hallel, sing his praises. So Rava said, how can we sing Hallel? After the story of Purim, whose servants were we still? Under whose thumb were we still? We were still under Achashverosh. And even later, years later, when we finally did rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the fire of the altar burnt in the shape of a dog, which was the national icon of Persia, the Persian Empire. And we were paying tribute and taxes. We didn't have our own armed forces. We were basically adjudicated by a Persian magistrate, a Persian nobility. It was some kind of governor who ran our country. We were Jewish people living in Israel, but we had zero self-determination. And of course, Malchus Beis David was not able to rise. We studied Torah, we performed mitzvahs, we lived in our land, but we were not independent. So we were still Avdei Achashverosh. You want to say halal for that? This is redemption. This is not redemption. Where Israel has to ask the United States every time it sneezes, this is redemption. Does the United States ask Israel if it wants to build new houses in downtown Washington? So what happened? Why does Israel have to ask the United States, or even worse, or Berlin, if it wants to build a house in Yerushalayim? This is insane. For this you want to say halal? You got to be kidding. You can't say halal for that. It's not a redemption. Redemption is when Yidden are able to do what they want in their land. So the Gemara itself says this wasn't redemption. Yes, we got saved. That was great. We were going to get killed. Now we're alive. But we're still Avdei Achashverosh. So the Rebbe says, Mikol Mokim. Yes, it's true. We're still in Golus. And even after the miracles of Purim, we were still in Golus. However, Mikol Mokim, Hamshacha L'mati Be'efen Shekein Tiyalonu. That still, despite the fact that we find ourselves in a limited and exilic reality, we nonetheless ask Hashem that all of these spiritual ideas brought down into the most literal way that modifies and transforms and elevates and sublimates the life as we know it should still happen, the Rebbe said in Yiddish, mit dem ganzen Sturm, with the full force. That's why I called it, may joy's force be with you. With the full force, the full brunt, the full intensity. Adla eifen de la yada. Until the point that on Purim we rejoice in what way? Until we go transcending rhyme and reason, transcending the literal reality as we understand it to be now. So that's the kind of way we hope and pray to be able to absorb and to actualize the ideas of Eira and Simcha and Sasna and Yikar as explained. And how is that possible? Here the Maamar goes back to where it started. It doesn't just say may the force be with you, it's may joy's force be with you. L'fisha simcha peretz geder. Because the nature of joy is that it breaks barriers. It shatters barriers. It is able to transcend glass ceilings and limitations. Guess what? Breaking barriers can be a very good thing. Certain barriers are not allowed to be broken, chas v'shalom, but certain barriers we have to get out of. Mitzrayim is all about these limiting, inhibiting borders. And we have to be able to get past that. And who's going to be the one to shatter barriers? Who's the ultimate disturber? Who shakes things up in a way that nobody else ever did? Who's that? That's exactly the moxie, the MO of Mashiach. If Mashiach had to write a CV, his CV is going to be Peretz Gidrei Golus. He's going to shatter the barriers of Golus. Because Mashiach is called Yala HaPeretz Lefaneinu. Mashiach is called the Peretz, like from Uferatzta, explosive growth. Not limited, measured development, explosive. A leap beyond, disturbing the entire order of things. Blowing it into a whole new reality beyond what you could have fathomed, beyond the expected and anticipated. So this is the idea of Mashiach. to break out of the limitations of galus. Be'efen shalemaylam v'medidav hagbala, in a way which is entirely transcendent of the limitations. Shemizbatlim kol hacheshbeinis v'medidis v'hagbalas. We have these calculations of why it can't work. And we have these limits that are placed upon us. We have these narrow constrictions and borders and things that obscure our spirituality and our Yiddishkeit. And we're not sure if what the world will say and how the world will accept it and if it will be something that we could do. But it's the truth. I know, but the truth won't be accepted and it won't be appreciated and we'll be attacked for it. And how do we make this in a way that we should be able to still do what's right without having to compromise and without having to, you know, in a sense, give up on things that are critically important? So this is the whole idea of Purim, is that we can transcend all of that. That this should be in a way of the celebration of one redemption is conjoined with the celebration of another redemption. Because we say Migulas Purim, from the Gula of Purim, we usually say Mismach Gula from Purim, we have Pesach, right? But it's one month after the other. But here the Rebbe is interpreting it as Mismach Gula, that from the Gula of Purim, which we celebrate soon, we should come to Geula Ayde Mashiach Tzidkeinu. We should come to the Geula celebration through Mashiach. So like I explained in the first part of the Maimer, that when we're rejoicing with the Simcha of Geula, that actualizes Geula. So when we celebrate Purim as Purim should be celebrated in a way which is transcendent of rhyme, reason, and limitation, then this enables us to be able to experience the reality of Mashiach, which is necessarily comprised of the notion of Poiritz, of disturbing situations, of transcending limitations, of shattering glass ceilings, and going beyond any kind of rhyme, reason, and expectation. And this is how Purim leads us from Purim. We do Purim right, let your neshama, wear your neshama on your sleeve, be a proud Purim Yid, and when that happens, we're able to, Mirtz Hashem, actualize and move into the next level, which is to be one who experiences Geula. Here in Oys Hay, in the final chapter of the Maimer, the Rebbe does something absolutely fascinating. And it's extremely relevant to now, even though the Rebbe was reciting this Maimer on Purim, now he's speaking about how we get to Purim. How do you get to having a proper Purim? So the Rebbe says, in Yonim Elu Nimshachim, all of this comes forth, Le'achre ha'achana sha'yedei avedus ha'adam. We need to make the proper preparations. That means we have a few days now. Still a couple days left to Purim. If we prepare for Purim right, then Purim will become something that's absolutely transformative. The Gemara tells us that a person is obligated to imbibe and to utilize the notion of wine and to celebrate Purim until he reaches a level of where he doesn't know. He transcends rhyme and reason. Like is explained in a mimer of the Rebbe Rashab in the year of 1919, one year prior to his passing, that he says in a mimer which is based on these very words, that he says that this is not necessarily talking about hitting the bottle or only in a literal way, but really what it represents is in yud tainug ha-nefesh b'pnimis ha-teira. This represents developing a taste for, not just a taste, but a delight that you actually enjoy studying chassidus. That the pnimis ha-teira, that the esoteric teachers of teira actually become like wine for us. We absorb it and it elevates us. We feel a sense of joy because of the ideas that we're learning. So this becomes a wine of Torah. And not just that you should lock yourself in a private setting and you should study Chassidus, but they should take these amazing, beautiful, mind-blowing ideas and you should share them with the widest orbit, with the greatest outdoors, and that people should start to learn Chassidus and apply Chassidus and be amazed by it and find joy in their lives because of it. And that it reaches that we reach a level of fervor and passion and absolute love for Hashem, a love for Yiddishkeit, that a person is excited about the performance of a mitzvah, that we love, enjoy, and look forward to engaging in what we would call a Yiddishkeit experience. And this happens in a way, how does that happen? How does one develop a taste? It's an acquired taste. How do you get this acquired taste? That happens on Yidei HaKadamas HaVedas HaTfilah B'Shleimus, when you daven like a mensch. So when the davening is like a yid shadaven, the less pulchana kapulchana deruchamisa. As the Gemara tells us, that there is, the Dzeira says actually, that there is no service like the service of the heart. So when you work with your heart and you work with your emotions, which is the notion of tefillah, connecting to God on an emotional level, until to such a point that a person reaches a delight in his davening, that a person knows that he savors davening. You enjoy the davening. You look forward to the davening. Because the davening is a time with you and Hashem. And you feel this amazing closeness to Hashem. And you enjoy that communion with God. When you daven like a mensch, then the Torah becomes completed. Because when a yid davens properly, then the Torah that's studied afterwards is a different kind of Torah, because then you have the proper consciousness, you have the proper outlook, the proper perspective, you understand what you're doing when you're studying Torah. So through davening, which assimilates the ideas of Yiddishkeit into our actual emotional realm, we're able to come to the point that we start to study Torah with greater fervor, with greater joy, with greater passion, because we understand what's going on. It's now, we relate to the Torah not only with our IQ, but also with our EQ. And we're relating to the Torah. And then the Torah comes in a way of completion. And that's now the Rebbe goes back to where he started at the beginning of the Maimer. That's why it's called not Oir, but Oira. But Tesefes Hey, by adding a Hey, Heinrichinim Sheches Baha Ora Milmaila, Milmaila, Maila. That there comes a new level, a new profusion in Torah, as we discussed in the opening part of the Maimer. Vegam Neshechas, Lamata Beyeser. This is also brought down into the lowest level. Receiving to the point of saturation, also as discussed in the beginning of the Maimer. So now the circle is being completed. Shagama Yadezen et Tesis Shlemas, this brings about completeness, wholeness, and all levels, al derech, this is along the idea of mitalmida yesa mikulam. So where does the profusion come from of the new level of understanding in Torah? That comes through the sharing of the Torah. And here the Rebbe concludes Umishlemas Atayra Nimshach Shlema Sa'am. From perfection in Torah, from actualizing a higher level of Torah, a greater profusion of Torah, which is brought down into and received by us to the point of absolute saturation, and it transforms us in a way that we're actually sharing it with others. So that's called Shleimus HaTorah, as we described in the beginning of the Maimer. From this we come to Shleimus Am, to intact or wholesomeness of the nation. As it says, Minar Ve'adzaken, Tafanoshim. That's the euphemism in the Megillah, the expression that Haman was using for his plot, for his machination of genocide against the Jewish people. He didn't say some Jews, he said all Jews. He didn't say male Jews, he didn't say female Jews. He didn't say old Jews, he didn't say young Jews. He didn't say children, he said all Jews. Minar Ve'adzaken, Tafanoshim, everybody. But so this idea, of course, can be expressed in a positive way, that all Yidden are engaged in Yiddishkeit, and every Yid's important. And this also brings about Shleimus Ha'aretz. The Rebbe said this also brings about wholesomeness in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Koilul Gam, including also, K'maymer Rabbi Seinu Nisyeinu HaYidua, Shetzarech Lahamshar Bechinetz Eretz Yisrael B'chutz La'aretz. Famous story, a man comes to the Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek and says, Rebbe, I want to move to Israel. The Rebbe said, that's so beautiful. Tell me, who's going to take over the class you give every Shabbos morning? The man said, I don't know. He said, who's going to take over that Gemil Chassadim Fund, that free loan side that you've been running for the last 25 years? The man said, I don't know. He said, who is going to make sure that the widow has what to eat and that the orphans are fed and taken care of? And who's going to make sure? And the Rebbe goes on to list all the wonderful activities a person doing in the shtetl. And the guy says, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. So the Rebbe says, in that case, stay right here. Machda Eretz Yisrael. Instead of you going to Eretz Yisrael, bring Eretz Yisrael here. He says, you have a mission, you have a job. You can't just pick up and leave. So in other words, we talk about Shleimus Ha'aretz, we mean quite literally, no territorial concessions. Because Rachmana Litzlan, we make these concessions, we suffer as a result of it. It's nothing good comes from it. As my friend in Chevron said, told me, is until peace broke out, we had no problems with our neighbors. All of these concessions, all of these talks of Rachmana Litzlan compromising Eretz Yisrael have compromised peace, have only brought mayhem, Rachmana Litzlan, murder and destruction. So there has to be Shleimus Ha'aretz, L'gvul Yisrael. But this is also could be understood beyond the literal reality of no territorial concessions, which bring nothing good. But furthermore, the notion of that wherever we are becomes Eretz Yisrael, that we can bring a wholesomeness, a completeness, an intactness into the way we impact the reality that we occupy, the part of the world we live in, until we fully dent the darkness and turn it around into a vessel and a keli for the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's real Shleimus Ha'aretz. Not just a material, a physical thing, but that it's brought down into the most, brought into the most spiritual concepts as well. In addition to this, Nifal Inyan Shleimus Ha'aretz Kepshuta, but that brings about the idea of Eretz Yisrael intact, whole, safe, and secure on a literal level. Because we have here fulfilled the promise that Hashem gives us, ki yarchav Hashem alekecha es gevulcha, that Hashem will broaden and expand your borders. And this will happen, kimavur behemshech al tatzer ladmur emtsoy, in a famous maimer of the Mittler Rebbe, where he talks about the bechinas eretz gimel amamin, that there are the land of three nations, which we don't have yet, even though Hashem promised it to Avraham Avinu. Even in the time of Yehoshua, we came to Israel, we didn't get those additional three territories. Which that about that's written, Yarchiv, Hashem will broaden, and that refers to the idea of Mashiach. And on a spiritual level, it represents the idea of Avodas HaMoichah, the seven territories, or seven nations represent the idea of the seven Midot, which are able to fully harness and transform, but we cannot transform the way we think about things. But this is the idea of Pnimius HaTorah, through studying the esoteric realm of Torah, that brings about Kvishanim Shechaz Bechabad, the way it comes forth into our minds, that eventually we can actually change the way we think and assimilate ideas as well. So this is the reality of Shleimus HaAretz on so many levels. And the Rebbe is essentially showing us that through the fulfillment of Oyre V'Simcha V'Sasim V'Yikar, we can bring about the transformation on all levels, in every single realm, in every way possible. I know I'm rushing through this, but we got to finish this maimon. Really, I could spend like an hour on this explaining it. By doing what we have to write up Purim, the Rebbe says, Tanz min arayin in Shabbos. This maimon was being delivered on Friday afternoon. So the Rebbe said, we dance into Shabbos. And I was there that Friday. I was 10 years old. I was there on that Friday evening. I can't even tell you the dancing. It was like Simchas Torah. It was unbelievable. And that was Shabbos, was Parsha Shmini. Shabbos, Parsha Tzav, that was Parsha Tzav. We go from Parsha Tzav into Parsha Shmini. What is Shmini? The third Parsha in Vayikra. That's the Parsha where it says, Vahiba Yeme Shmini, on the eighth day of the installment of the Mishkan. That's where it all went live. She'osi ha'yem natal eser ha'todas. That day took the proverbial 10 crowns. She'kosher, the Rebbe says, this is linked to the idea of eser amomen, of the 10 territories. The idea of perfection of Eretz Yisrael. B'chinas ki yarchiv. The idea of broadening that we spoke about. She'zeo gam inyan, the kinur shel Mashiach. The notion of eight represents the harp, the lyre of Mashiach, the way we'll make musical Mashiach will come, that we say that the kinnur of Mashiach is Shmoinanim, and David HaMelech's harp had seven strands, but Mashiach's harp will be made up of eight strands, and the idea, it's L'mayla Mekinah Shel Beis HaMikdash, it's transcendent, it goes beyond the music made during the time of the Beis HaMikdash of Shiva Nimin, the kinnur de la Asad Lavay, until we reach the ultimate kinnur, the ultimate fiddle, the way to make music, which is made of Eser Nimin, which is made of completion and perfection with the number 10, kimavur b'macham acher, as is explained in multiple places in Chassidus, especially in the Amarim of the Tzemach Tzedek and the Rebbe Rashab. From this we come to the way of Adal Yoda, Mahamaimedu Matzah, Dakate Avde Achashverishanan, that was celebrating Purim, and we're reaching the highest levels of communion and oneness with God by reaching a joy that transcends all limitations and shatters all glass ceilings to the point, Lo Yoda, we're beyond rhyme and reason. Even though we're still in the concept of Golos, even though we're still under the thumb of Achashverosh. And this happens in the Eifin of Mismach Geula LeGeula, that the joy of one redemption, celebrating one redemption, brings us into the celebration of the next redemption, B'Noreinu U'Vizkeinenu, with our children, with our elders, B'Boneinu U'Bivneseinu, with our sons and our daughters. This is the euphemistic terminology that Moshe Rabbeinu used when he was telling the Pharaoh how we're going to leave Mitzrayim. The Pharaoh said, oh, you want to worship God? Take the men. Moshe says, it doesn't work that way. Take the woman. Leave us the children. Oh, no, Moshe said. Men, the woman, the children, the elders, everybody's coming along. And this is the way it's going to be. And Eretz Hashem, when Mashiach comes, as the prophet Yirmiyahu said, Kahol Godol, a great congregation. Yeshuv Vahenu will return there. V'achanelach yachad the Mashiach Tzidkenu, until we go together with Mashiach, our righteous Redeemer, B'meheira, B'yameinu, Amash. That concludes the matter.